Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we are joined by my friend Katie Pavlich from Fox News and townhall.com. She's a great American. You're going to love her commentary on whether or not Biden will debate and so much more. Please consider supporting our program at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. Please email us freedom@charliekirk.com with any questions you have, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, the nation's largest, most critical organization fighting for America, our future, liberty and freedom on high school and college campuses across the country, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Katie Pavlich is here. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campuses.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. Super thrilled to be joined by a good friend of mine who she is an editor at Town Hall and also a contributor for Fox News, Katie Pavlich. Katie, welcome to The Charlie Kirk Show.
Charlie, it's great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
So last week we saw the RNC and before that the DNC, and your commentary on television was terrific. What do you make as the state of the race right now? It seems that polls are tightening. You have been commenting, I think, correctly that Joe Biden has been going in the wrong direction. What do you make of the state of the race as of today?
Well, I know that the big joke on Joe Biden is that he plagiarizes everything, but watching his behavior on the so-called campaign trail kind of proves that. He's continuing this lead from behind attitude and procedure, just like President Obama did on a number of issues. He's visiting Kenosha now that President Trump has visited Kenosha, Wisconsin. We actively await for the Democratic governor there to tell him he should not come, as he told President Trump. He outlined his vision for how he would have handled the China coronavirus. But he did everything following what President Trump has already done, pulling especially like manufacturing of PPE out of China, getting our drugs manufactured in the United States, invoking the Defense Production Act, et cetera, et cetera. So in terms of how they're doing, they seem to be following President Trump's lead on the issues. But in terms of other things that they're doing, you know, Joe Biden today gave a press conference for the first time in weeks, took some questions. He's before the convention thought that he could win this thing by simply staying at home and speaking to people over the internet. We know that's not true now as they kind of hit the panic button and try and get him into places for short periods of time. I think they're really starting to realize that the Trump campaign has the upper hand when it comes to the grassroots campaign, the ground game, and what they've actually built for the president over the last 4 years with the momentum of the 2016 win. And what I mean by that is the Trump campaign and the RNC have been knocking on a million doors a week. The Biden campaign has done none of that. Vice President mm-hmm. Mike Pence has been in states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Pennsylvania for weeks now, going around talking to voters. Biden's campaign has done none of that. It's almost like they haven't learned that you can't win states by not going to them, especially when you're trying to win back voters. So, you know, everybody always cites the polling, which is tightening now, but polling is just one aspect of this bigger, complex issue of the campaign. And on the grassroots effort and getting into, the inboxes and at the front doors of voters, the Trump campaign is just far and beyond what anything the Biden campaign has been able to accomplish at this time.
I think that's a very smart analysis, and I believe that there's other contributing factors as to actually who's going to win the presidency outside of just public polling. I mean, the final poll taken before Wisconsin was Hillary Clinton up 7 points. They didn't even bother polling it, and President Trump won Wisconsin and, of course, similar in Michigan. Your Twitter has been terrific lately, and you retweeted a series of tweets calling out Governor Evers, who this was Reince Priebus' tweet, which I thought was terrific. He said, waiting for Governor Evers' statement asking Joe Biden not to come to Kenosha. Now, it's really interesting to me why Joe Biden would be going to visit a site of peaceful protests and why he now feels the need to do it. My working theory on this, Katie, is that Joe Biden and the Democrats made a very big, awful error in judgment. I said this on our podcast recently, that Joe Biden, if all he had to do was come out and denounce the violence and the protests and what they were doing just slightly, and it very well could have been a political death blow to Donald Trump. In fact, their gaslighting of acting as if these don't exist and just poking people in the eyes and saying, oh, they're just peaceful protests, I think it opened up an opportunity for President Trump to turn this into a political, you know, horse race, just really much tighter than it really should have been in this summer, if we're honest with ourselves, Katie. I mean, it's hard to run when the entire country is locked down and there's a virus and everyone's politicizing it. The media is against you. What is your take on how the Democrats have been handling this riots issue? I'm of the opinion it really just started to turn right around Don Lemon talking to Chris Cuomo. It's felt like a kind of a backroom conversation that became public almost on air, where he said, Chris, you know, it's showing up in the polling. And it seems from that moment forward, the Democrats started to have a new posture on these riots and protests. What's your take on this and how it has benefited the president?
Yeah, so the first thing is I think you're right about the Don Lemon and the media giving the instructions to the Biden campaign about how they should be handling these things, which gives you another insight into, you know, where they stand. But I remember distinctly Joe Biden giving a speech in August and mentioning this and changing his tune about the violence. And it was really the first time he had given a harsher condemnation of it. Let's not forget that Kamala Harris was tweeting out links earlier in the summer to bail funds for rioters who were arrested in places like Minneapolis and a number of their campaign staffers who still work for the campaign donated money or were bailed out by that funding. So they were actively engaged in promoting and encouraging this kind of behavior. And now all of a sudden, for political reasons, because all they care about is power, they are trying to change their tune on this. Now, I think that they could have been more strategic about it as well. Joe Biden used to be known as somebody who was tough on crime. After all, he sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which, by the way, the NAACP at the time supported. A number of Black community leaders supported at the time because crime in their communities was completely out of control. Kamala Harris, of course, has a long record as a prosecutor. They could have used that to their advantage in dealing with this rioting and this violence crisis in America. But instead, they have decided that they are going to embrace the far left of their party. And this is nothing new. Let's not forget that the Black Lives Matter movement is not a new thing. This rioting and this Antifa-style partnership that they have started 5 years ago in 2015 under Barack Obama. There were a number of police shootings in Dallas. Remember that? The execution of police officers
five
there.
Five police officers. Yeah,
you had the police officer in New York City who was executed in his vehicle when he was eating lunch. And the person who killed him wrote on his Instagram page before he carried out the assassination that he was going to put a pig in a blanket. Well, Al Sharpton's group had been marching through New York City, chanting pigs in a blanket, frying like bacon. And at the time, during the 2016 DNC, the DNC platform completely endorsed Black Lives Matter. So this is fully ingrained in their politics now. It is part of them, and it has been for a long time. So they are unable, Joe Biden as a, quote, moderate, is unable to get away from it because this is not something new. This is something they've been embracing for years on end now.
They're unable to decouple from it. And the latest betting odds, which I love the betting markets when it comes to presidential races, front page of realclearpolitics.com. I think realclearpolitics is one of the few websites out there that just tells you, it's just an aggregator and shows you exactly the data. You can make your own decisions. I know you guys cite it quite a lot on Fox. It's basically tied now. It's basically the race is within the margin of error. And I do think that the president now needs to kind of go to the next chess move where Biden is now having some form of a message that probably will work with most people saying that this is Donald Trump's America. Totally unfair, by the way. Completely and totally unfair. But I think finally the Biden campaign is doing what they should have done a month ago. And in some ways, it's the old kind of tortoise and the hare analogy. It's like Biden was so far ahead, he just kind of took a nap. and and probably literally took a nap. However, it's such a preventable political mistake by them. And I actually don't think that the Trump campaign should be too overly confident, because the Biden campaign is adapting to this right now, and they're visiting Kenosha. They're doing the right things now, the Biden campaign is. Whereas for the last couple of weeks, they just kind of decided to act as if it doesn't exist, which was a horrible political miscalculation. You're from Arizona, Katie, and you're also one of the top Second Amendment advocates in the country. I've made the argument, I love your take on this, that guns are actually going to be a winning issue for the president. In fact, I think it's one of the swing voting issues where more and more people are buying firearms legally to defend themselves against these thugs that are running the streets that have been released by governors like Gavin Newsom. Can you talk about some of these swing issues that might not be on the top of polling, but actually really motivate people that you think the Republicans or the president should focus on?
Yeah, it's. I'll start with the Second Amendment issue, and then I want to get into the economy and a different take on that issue in terms of not even swing voters, but maybe people who are Democrats who really don't appreciate all the lockdowns and the hypocritical behavior from politicians. Mm-hmm. On the Second Amendment, you know, 2020 is going to be the most successful year on record for gun sales, and just since the beginning of the year, with the you know, Wuhan coronavirus combined with all this civil unrest and rioting, and you add in that Democrats across the country are calling for the defunding of police and actually doing it in some places, there are 5 million new gun owners as of right now, and the year isn't even over. And if you think about, you put that into context of, you know, it's not the same thing as registering new voters. But it is similar, because it's an issue that people take very personally. To buy your first firearm and for the purpose of self-defense, which the vast majority of the reasons why people are buying their first gun in this year is for self-defense, to defend their family. It's a very personal, thoughtful, well-thought-out reason. And it is coupled with the idea that, you know, Democrats are the ones who are calling for more gun control, making it harder for you to defend your family, and at the same time taking away your second line of defense, which is the police. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how, I don't have any data to to look at to kind of transfer that to whether people will show up at the voting booth and vote for Trump or for a Republican senator, especially in a time when much of the campaign is focused on the virus and how that's being handled, but with the unrest that's shot up to the top of an issue of the issues in terms of people, what they're voting on. So I think you can kind of put it into that category of how people are going to vote. When you see these large crowds of people, you know, walking through the suburbs and screaming at people with megaphones in the middle of the night, and their children are there, people start to think about what they would do if the police couldn't come protect them.
That's exactly right.
So I don't know if it will change voter behavior, but I would say I think it takes a lot more thought to buy your first firearm if you weren't a gun owner before, or this wasn't an issue for you before, than it does maybe to just register to vote. So we'll see how that plays out. But I don't think it's a good thing for Democrats and for them to have pushed gun control at their convention at a time when there is so much civil unrest, I think is a mistake. And then on the issue of the economy, you know, I've had so many non-political people tell me that they are voting for Republicans because they cannot stand these arbitrary lockdown mm-hmm. rules, that these elitist politicians don't follow themselves but expect everyone else to follow while their businesses have been completely run into the ground. This Nancy Pelosi situation this week is a perfect example of that. If we're going into a hair salon without a mask and going inside when you're not allowed to get, you know, hair services inside of a salon in California.
That's right.
There have been protests led by salon owners in California against Gavin Newsom, against these severe lockdown policies. And these people are not typically Republicans. They're typically, you know, liberal artist types who vote for Democrats. But I can imagine that they're rethinking who they're going to vote for when they're leading protests against Democrats who are taking away their livelihoods. And I think that the Biden campaign they've tried to say that this is the Trump economy and it didn't have to be this way. And yet when you asked Joe Biden what he would have done, he said that he would shut the country down again. So on one hand, you can't accuse the president of running the economy into the ground while also saying you would shut down the economy again. these things don't square.
Yes.
I think that's where I think on the economy, people are voting differently than a typical election just based on the situation that we're in.
I think that the economy and opening up America has been a changing issue. And I think that it's much more – it's much less like a snapshot in time. It's much more like a moving film where people felt differently about this issue probably a couple months ago than they do today, where now right. as their capital reserves are really drying up and bankruptcy is really looming, I think that people's patience for the perpetual lockdown narrative has changed. And this is, I think, again, going back to a really, really silly and I think misguided political calculation by the Democrats where they all they had to do was take a nuanced position on this, Katie. And I think they could have really pummeled the Republicans and and Donald Trump on this. But instead, they took this position Joe Biden did. He said, I'll shut down America again if that's what it's going to take. Like, really? That's an incredibly unpopular position with decent and reasonable people that are going to go vote regardless of the other issues. And I agree with you on the firearms issue. I don't see how anyone can vote for Joe Biden that is a new registered vote, that is a new firearm owner, especially as you mentioned, 5 million, incredible, which is absolutely unprecedented. And I think that the president is going to be very smart in the debates, which I want to ask you about in just a second, to press the issue of Joe Biden – what guns would you take away? And if so, please tell me. I think those kind of cross-examination of Joe Biden exactly how President Trump's going to win these debates, because Joe Biden is not good off the cuff. He gets very angry because I think of his impending mental cognitive decline. I think the president will be at his best as almost a cross-examining prosecutor almost, and not someone who's just trying to tell the country, how great his presidency is. I actually think putting Joe Biden on trial is the way that President Trump should approach these debates. Can you tell us about the debates? Joe Biden pledged today that he is going to debate. President Trump says that they should take drug tests before, which is definitely a new wrinkle into the debate conversation. What's your take on this entire conversation around debates?
Yeah, well, to your point, Joe Biden, let's not forget when he was still out on the trail earlier this year, he was in Detroit at an auto plant, and a Detroit auto worker asked him the question and confronted him about the Second Amendment and saying, you're going to take away my gun rights. And Joe Biden did not have a good reaction to that. He got very angry. And so he's not – this far left mentality that Joe Biden has tried to fit into doesn't really work in the places where he needs to win. In terms of the debates, I'm not so convinced yet that they're going to debate. Mm-hmm. I know we're 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out. But when Nancy Pelosi comes out and says that Joe Biden should not debate Donald Trump, I don't think that she would have said that if it wasn't –
It's a trial balloon. That's exactly right.
Yeah, within the party. And so I think them not having Joe Biden debate would be a political misstep for sure, especially now that he's losing ground in the polling and kind of trying to catch up to the president, actually doing the same things that he's been doing. But I wouldn't underestimate Joe Biden. I think there is this, this caution that, he gave his DNC speech and everyone was like, oh, it was so amazing. Well, that's because everyone lowered the bar so much for his ability that, him being able to do the speech well was an easy proposition to conduct. Yeah, so
just giving a basic speech
there will be debates, but I will be watching if there are.
Yeah. And so I'm sympathetic with that argument because it's really a perplexing political moment we're living through here, Katie. We'll be talking about this for the next 40 years. Like, remember when Joe Biden and Trump and we were a question of even debating? And I think this year is going to have a lot of the do you remember sentiments from this year. Because part of it is if Joe Biden does debate, I mean, his handlers can't touch him for 90 minutes. I mean, he is all on his own and Donald Trump can do whatever he possibly can to trip him up in a good way, I think, and actually expose his radicalism or his mental impairments. Additionally, I think that if he doesn't debate, this is part of where I think the president needs to kind of have his next chess move. The first chess move was the riots, right? And really hyper focusing on that, and ended up being a master stroke of genius by the Trump campaign. And part of it is luck. I'm not going to lie. I mean, part of it is that the Democrats mishandled this so ridiculously. They just opened up a 10-point window for the Trump campaign. Like, sure, come on back to the race. We've been waiting for you. okay,
right,
we'll take
right.
this opportunity. But then I think the next move is that Trump has to taunt Biden into how little he travels, how few questions he takes, and how few interviews he does. I think that's a winning issue. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I think that's absolutely true. I think, you know, the idea that President Trump is always accessible to the press, always doing press conferences, always talking to folks, is always visible, while Joe Biden is not visible and then is very carefully handled. I mean, the press conference this week, he had his staffers asking the reporters to state their questions rather than him stating the questions. So I think he's done like fewer than five press conferences this entire year. And it's, you know, they would say, well, we've been ahead in the polling, so that's why we don't need to overexpose ourselves. But at a time when people are starting to pay more attention after Labor Day to the race, people are really going to start comparing the two candidates. I think the president should really focus on Biden's record, on the things he has said that are not true, on the fracking issue. You know, yesterday, Joe Biden tried to claim that he's not going to ban fracking. He said numerous times in the primary that he absolutely would not just ban fracking, but ban all fossil fuels. So getting him on those inconsistencies and that disingenuous nature of Joe Biden being a politician while Donald Trump is not. And then also on the rioting issue, you know, I don't even think it was a political calculation from the Trump campaign or even from the president. I genuinely believe that Donald Trump, he understands what it would feel like if somebody burned down.
Yes.
His work. He understands what it's like to lose a business. He understands the, you know, how hard people work their entire lives to build a business that was just destroyed. And Democrats apparently were okay with that because they refused to condemn it. It's a personal thing that he understands because he's been in it, and he knows what it takes. Whereas if you're a politician like Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, who have been in political life, taxpayer funded basically your entire career, you don't have any empathy, as they would say, for people like that, because you've never
lived that
kind of life. Like, you've never owned a business or had employees who you can no longer pay now because you don't have a business, or you don't understand that the insurance doesn't cover the entire bill of rebuilding your business. And then your insurance bill actually goes up and makes it more expensive for you to operate. So I think he genuinely understands those things, whereas Joe Biden does not, Kamala Harris does not, many people on the left do not. And pointing out that detachment from the real world and the rest of America, doing the outsider thing again, would really help him.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because President Trump, I think, is actually at his best right now running as an outsider, as an incumbent. And the Democrats have really presented this opportunity where it's kind of Trump against the Democrat power structure in the country as him as an incumbent. That's kind of the way this race is unfolding, which is not a good race for the Democrats, by the way. The one thing that bothers them the most is actually having them explain how they control every single urban center in our country, and the crime and the arson and the endless amounts of blood being spilled in places that they have a total monopoly of power on. And the president, I think, is smart, and I agree with you completely. It's not just a political calculation. It was a moral calculation, because he said, I'm not okay with this happening without you me commenting on it. This is something that is personal, and I know what it would mean like if your livelihood just gets burned down in front of you. Like you saw yesterday, the guy that had a Photoshop through his whole family for 109 years just got burned down, everything. And what's the recourse for that, for BLM Incorporated? And so you had a tweet today, which was terrific, or might have been yesterday, where you said, this political poll description is absurd. The reason Black Lives Matter is losing support is due to their behavior, not because Trump is attacking them. The political the title is Trump attacks take a toll on Black Lives Matter support. What they're trying to do here, Katie, is the media is trying to frame it as if Trump is one of the reasons as to why BLM is doing what they're doing. They have no choice but to fight back, and that it's really Trump that is the agitator. That is kind of the new narrative here. What do you make of that?
Right. So I saw this polling today showing that, you know, the approval for Black Lives Matter has gone down. And I want to make the distinction between, there are, I think all Americans believe that Black lives are important, and of course they matter, but they don't give into this, as you just mentioned, Black Lives Matter Incorporated notion. So anyway, based on the last 3 months and the social media that we have has exposed what is actually going on at these riots and these protests of, you know, of the, and Black Lives Matter leaders going on Fox News and saying if they don't get what they want, they're going to burn the country down. That's why Black Lives Matter and their approval rating is going down, not because President Trump is pointing them out or, you know, talking about them. Their own behavior is what is getting them to wear out their welcome with the American people. However, this goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning of your podcast, is that this has been going on for 5 years, right? The Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. And I was doing research today based on reading that poll, because I just remember when this whole alt thing started. And I found this op-ed from August 24th, 2015, and it's titled, "I was a civil rights activist in the 1960s, but it's hard for me to get behind Black Lives Matter. I support BLM's cause, but not its approach." So, you know, this has been a long time. It's an activist group. You and I know that they talk about breaking down everything about American civil society, that they're trained Marxists running the organization. I think that the more Black Lives Matter is exposed for what it is, people can see it for what it is, and they want nothing to do with it. And that doesn't mean that you don't want police tackled appropriately, or that you don't think that, of course, Black Lives Matter, but you're not willing to destroy the country that you live in for the sake of their Marxist agenda goals.
Well, yeah, what's awful about this article at Politico is it frames BLM Incorporated. We always call it BLM Incorporated because I never want people to be confused of me attacking a phrase that is true. But when they phrase BLM Incorporated as if they're the victim, as if they're not the agitators that are the ones burning down America and wanting to destroy the Western prescribed nuclear family. One of the reasons why they have a lower approval rating is they're burning down our country. And not to mention that Republicans are actually finally speaking out against them. In early June, there was this silence where it was myself and a few others, and I believe you as well, that were unafraid to kind of call BLM Inc. what they were, because we've been in this fight for a couple of years and it's nothing new. Yeah. And we know who they are. We know what they do. We've been dealing with them since Ferguson. We deal with them in Baltimore, right? I mean, you and I got our political start dealing with groups like this that were actually started under Barack Obama. And then finally, I think in July and August, it started to grow and started, oh, wow, maybe I should go to the website. I don't agree in destroying the Western prescribed nuclear family. Probably not a good idea. And so And I think your analysis on that is spot on. Last question here, Katie. Can you just give us an idea of what you think the president needs to do to win going into the election? I think that there's still going to be some October surprises from the left going towards Trump. It's my opinion that they probably still have a couple things they've been waiting for the last 30 days of the campaign. The mail-in voting horrifies me. The Bloomberg Group came out recently and said that Donald Trump might win on Election Day, but he'll lose the war, basically saying they're going to have the mail-in ballot deluge. Which really horrifies me as a Trump supporter and an American, that they're bragging about how they're going to use mail-in voting to corrupt the electoral process. What do you think the president has to do? What do you think his biggest barriers are to victory? And what can our listeners help do to achieve that goal?
Well, I think there's a lot of things at play. I do think that the wind is at his back in terms of a vaccine, in terms of the economy getting better, of people going back and remembering that things were pretty good under him before the virus came, and looking at the polling of who they hold responsible for the havoc that the virus has wreaked on America and the world. They want reparations from China. And even Democrats blame China for this, the problems that it's caused. But in terms of what the president's going to need to do, I think he's doing all the right things. He's visiting Minnesota. They're dumping money onto the airwaves there. As I mentioned, Mike Pence, the vice president, has been in all these battleground states over and over and over again throughout the year. They're on the ground. The Trump campaign has all of these bus tours that they've been doing repeatedly. They're targeting voters. They're not giving in to, you know, this compromise that gets you nowhere with the mob. I think continuing to hammer Joe Biden on his hypocritical record and his changing of opinion based on what he needs to do politically, including now, by the way, he's not condemning the riots and the violence because he actually cares. He's condemning it because it's showing up in polling, which is very transparent. So, you know, the left will have things that they will throw at the president, but I feel a little confident because they've thrown so much at him that he has survived. It's kind of like, what else could they possibly throw at him?
Totally. And I mean, I think the president is, again, is on his best when he's playing offense. He's the best offensive player in American political history. He's okay on defense. I actually don't think the president is at his best when he plays defense. I've told him that privately and I've said that publicly. But you and I'm just going to read from Politico right here, where breaking down Biden's speech, the headline is, "Do I look like a radical socialist?" Biden says. That's how you know the president is winning. That's how you know the president is trending in the right direction, when Joe Biden endlessly has to respond to Trump's attacks. The more Trump does that, and I think the president, again, he won in 2016 because he had Hillary Clinton on defense the entire time and she had no ability to be able to get back on her feet. Well, Katie, thank you so much.
Sorry. Losing.
No, please.
One message
finish.
I would say that the president should take on is, you know, he's tried to frame this campaign as America versus socialism. and communism. Well, he should remind everybody that the last 6 months has really been an experiment in socialism. The government has been telling us what to do, where we can and cannot go, when we can and cannot work. We've been writing checks to everybody to compensate them for what the government has done to them. And it's been hell. And so reminding everybody that we've been in this experiment and that we don't want to do this again. And that if you don't want to shut the economy down again,
I totally
like
agree.
Joe Biden said, then he needs people to vote for him.
I think that the pivot that President Trump needs to do that the Biden campaign is not prepared for is calling him lockdown Biden. I think that the mm-hmm. lockdowns have lost so much favorability, especially in the Democrats' hypocrisy around them. I'm going to say this publicly and privately to the president, is come out right now with lockdown Biden, because they're losing on the riots issue and they're trying to compensate for it, and then all of a sudden expose them on the lockdown issue. These are the kind of the president is at his best on this. I mean, there's a lot of things that he does right, and this is one of them. So, Katie, thank you so much for joining us. You're amazing. Love seeing you on TV. Keep fighting.
Thanks, you're a patriot.
Too. Thanks so much.
See you soon.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you guys want to help support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. Chip in some money if you can to help support us, $10, $50, $100, to help keep this podcast growing strong and going to new heights at charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless you. Have a great day. Speak to you soon.